Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
Welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. I do appreciate you joining us this morning. And just a note for you, you can now catch our show on your schedule with the Coffee Break podcast. You can find us at coffeebreak959.podbean.com. There's also a link up at the top of our website, kcap.com. And we're on iTunes as well. Search for Coffee Break 959 on there. That's the easiest way to find the show. Joining us for the show today is Jenna Comstock. Jenna with us to chat about an upcoming fundraiser event. Jenna, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
We're here to chat about an event coming up. It's next Saturday, January 19th. It's going to be at the Staggering Ox. This is an event designed to help out with some medical expenses for Vanessa Alec. Can you explain to folks just what's going on with Vanessa and how did this whole thing kind of come about?
In November, Vanessa started having some medical issues. She noticed a lot of pain and pressure in her eye and, you know, through in and out of into the ER, out of the ER with the, you know, regular general doctor and an eye doctor. They basically, short story, discovered that she has a rare autoimmune rheumatic disorder, and it's attacking her eye. And then there's also the worry of it going into the other eye, and it's near the brain. And so what they're working on right now is trying to get that to go down and to kind of be in what I guess you could assume to be a remission for some that kind of a disease. She still can't see out of that eye. There's a lot of loss there, and I don't know how much expectation they have for her to have full sight out of that eye. So they're just working on trying to calm down the disorder and, you know, get her to some sort of a quality of life. So it's been a difficult holiday season,
yeah,
you know, to go through that. But, you know, the family's strong and everybody's rallying behind her and doing all we can to support them. And the community, you know, hopefully is coming together really strong to help support them. She has a job at Intermountain, and my brother works self-employed. So, and during this season, self-employment is, you know, feast or famine too.
Yeah.
So we just decided to get together and try to do this auction to get them through the winter and on to treatment and to, so they can focus on her recovery.
Yeah. And she works out there at Intermountain, as you said. So obviously, you know, helping a lot of kiddos that need some very special attention. And she also, it sounds like, pretty active when it comes to being part of the community and charitable events herself, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's always, I mean, if you need her, she's there, you know, no problem at all. And she's all in too. There's no, you know, oh, I'll give you 50% because, you know, she's all in. She'll drop anything and help family, help friends, help. She's helped with fundraisers in the past. I know she's helped, you know, with work too, with the kind of fundraisers they do with Intermountain, and she's always involved. So it's I think, time that, you know, we step up for her.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's our turn now because, I mean, pretty serious medical issues. And this is something that needs to be addressed pretty quickly, right? It's not, hey, down the road, we're going to work on that. I mean, this is something that needs to be done now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are familiar with autoimmune rheumatic. You know, it sounds really rough, and it is. You know, it's pretty serious. These kinds of diseases attack your major organs. And the one she has specifically definitely can affect the heart, the liver, the kidneys, all the things that we need to function. So trying to find something that works, which, you know, based upon what we've shared so far with the community, it's been a struggle. You know, the first line of attack hasn't really worked the greatest.
Right. Because this isn't always, okay, you've got this, take this pill or take this.
Right.
I mean, this is a lot of trial and error type of medical work, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ultimately, they don't really know specifically what combination of stuff is going to work.
Right.
For each individual case.
Yeah, exactly. The first line of defense didn't work with a lot of just using steroids to get everything to calm down. And I think we've all heard how harsh steroids can be on your body after a certain period of time. So now we're on to a chemotherapy treatment.
Which is equally, I mean, in a different way, but it's very, very tough.
It is. It is. And, you know, she's doing well. She's taking it as it comes. Everybody has their ups and downs. But as a family, they're doing well, and we're all there to help support them and the best we can. I know she has good days and bad days with the therapy, but they're looking at a year of doing that therapy, and then the doctors are working on getting her down to Mayo in March.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking it up. It's called Wegener's granulomatosis.
Yeah.
I think I said it's a pretty rare. I mean, it sounds like fewer than 200,000 cases a year are diagnosed, which when you're looking at the entire country, that's a very small amount of people. And it seems this is something that slows blood flow to various organs. They can develop areas of inflammation. It's called granulomas, and those affect how your organs work. And you don't really know exactly where it's going to go. And right now, as you said at the front end of the show, it went to her eye.
Yeah.
And so not a good thing. And something she's going to have pretty intense treatments for. And you mentioned going to the Mayo Clinic. Mm-hmm. Obviously a place where there are experts, where there are people that can help out with this sort of thing, but also very expensive.
Very expensive. Yeah. Daily, if you think about it, to be there. And I think what we've discussed is she would be down there about 10 days is what the initial thought would be, depending on testing and how she gets through that and what she can move on to next for their whole series. And then, of course, you have to have somebody go with you to, mm-hmm. you know, well, you're lucky enough to have somebody go with you. And so, you know, the cost of being out of work and away from the home and care for the kids while you're gone and just to be there. And, you know, insurance only covers so much. And there's already been expenses that insurance just won't cover with specialized testing and things like that, that you don't have a choice. You know, you have to do it because you're desperate to find out what's going on and how to fix it.
We're talking this morning with Jenna Comstock. She's here to tell us about, we've got a fundraiser coming up. It's for Vanessa Alex. She's got some stuff going on medically. And, you know, on top of treatment costs, you got to get there to the clinic. You got to pay for living expenses while you're there. She's not going to have a paycheck coming in. The bills add up very, very quickly. Now let's talk about what we can do to help here. I mean, because that's what we want to talk about this morning. There's going to be an event coming up at Staggering Ox. What is this thing? What is it going to look like?
So it's going to be a silent auction. We'll have baskets of different, you know, materials, you know, maybe a coffee basket, maybe an arts and entertainment basket. You know, we have a couple getaways that have been donated. So we're considering doing a basket with those or maybe a raffle because they're pretty valuable. We have jewelry basket, hunting, fishing baskets. You know, we're already starting to gather those things. And it'll be a silent auction. So you can just put your bid amount down on the sheet and then the highest bidder wins and you'll be contacted. We also have a Facebook page and an event online. And so we're kind of trying to play around with the idea of people being able to bid, you know, over that or electronically if they can't make it in, you know, just to try to get the most support we can.
Yeah, this is coming up next Saturday. It's January 19th. And it sounds like you're still taking contributions for the silent auction. How does that work?
Yeah, till the very last minute, we're willing to accept anything anybody's willing to donate. They can contact me. They can go through our Facebook page and contact us like that. And anything you're willing to donate. I mean, we're asking for items at about a $50 value, you know, just because that works well in putting together a basket. Mm-hmm. Considering it's a medical fundraiser, we're obviously a little bit, you know, trying for a higher end basket. And we're just accepting anything. So we've had friends donate homemade art, you know, we've had people donate gift certificates and their time. So.
And as far as the event itself, this is for anybody to show up and attend, right?
Yep. Open to the public. We're hoping everybody can come. Staggering Ox has just been so gracious with giving us a space and really open to what we need and how we want to do it. And, you know, they're going to be pushing it out on their Facebook page, too. They do all of that to help as well. I've been very thankful in working with them.
What are the hours that this is going to be happening?
It's going to start at 2 that day, and it'll go until 6.
Okay.
And that's when we'll basically close the bids, is at 6. And we hope that anybody who stops by definitely gets a sandwich, too, to help support the Ox for their gift to us.
Yeah, for sure. And if someone can't attend, but they want to help out, or if there's a business owner that says, you know what, I've got something I want to donate, what's the best thing for them to do? Who do they contact? Do they go... What is the Facebook page?
Yeah.
How do you want people to get a hold of you?
Definitely. I think it's easiest to go through the Facebook page because I'm monitoring that pretty closely. It's Vanessa's Hope. I also have an email set up called VanessaBenefit@gmail.com. And then basically the Facebook page, I think, is all a good contact. You can send a message. Contact phone number's on there, or the email seems to be pretty easy.
Okay. Jenna Comstock, thanks for coming in to chat today. I mean, it's a fantastic event. It's a fantastic cause. And I'm very confident that Helena's going to get out there and help support y'all.
Thanks so much for having me. We're all so grateful that you reached out. And everybody's coming together really nicely. We're very impressed, and we're very thankful for the community we live in.
Swing by there if you can, January 19th over there at the Staggering Ox. Starts at 2 o'clock. Or, you know what, if you're a business owner, if you've got something that you can donate, you can do that as well and get on the Facebook page and check that out. Jenna, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks.
Keep it right here. We've got more Coffee Break coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. Coffee Break is sponsored by Kelly DeWolf, your reverse mortgage funding specialist at 1422 Cedar Street, Helena. Kelly DeWolf, reverse mortgage specialist. For details, contact him at kellydewolf@reversefunding.com. Now, back to our show. And welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around this morning. And a note for you, you can catch our show on your schedule. It's the Coffee Break Podcast. Just get on kcap.com and find us on there. And finishing out the show today for us, we rolled him out of bed. He had a late night last night, but I appreciate him coming in. The newest member of the KCAP news team, the voice of the Capital Bruins, Stuart Davis. How are you, man?
I'm great, man. So glad to be here. It's exciting. My first Coffee Break.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I gave you a mug. I think the first day you were in the office, so you could get some caffeine going. But today you earned that red mug.
I did.
It's like a delayed payoff. You have to pay that mug off now.
I wish that mug was sitting in front of me right now.
It comes with an awesome responsibility, though.
It does.
And that responsibility is going on a road trip last night, coming back, and having to get in here this morning. So I guess where to start here, I guess first let's just talk about you. I mean, you, if people maybe haven't guessed.
I love talking about me.
Yeah. No, you're not originally from Montana.
No. As you can probably tell, or most people listening can tell, I'm from North Carolina, southeastern North Carolina, coastal North Carolina, Wilmington area. Spent some time in Charlotte, North Carolina, and then got into the radio biz and saw a job opening for a position in Havre, Montana. And was really like, where's Havre, Montana? And called him up and found out it was Havre, Montana. And, got to talking and said, hey, let's go on an adventure. And about 3 years ago, I came out to Big Sky Country and have been on the High Line and just recently moved down to the capital city.
Yeah, Havre to Helena.
Yeah.
So, you're from southeastern North Carolina.
Yeah, you got a lot of geographical directions,
like,
right?
Can we get one more arrow in that thing? On the west side of southeastern North Carolina. So give us a little bit of a bio here. I mean, because like you said, you jumped into radio a little bit late. What are the early days of Stuart Davis look like?
Early days, gypsy, band of gypsies rolling down the highway. No, it's went to college, played some soccer in college, and thought I was going to be a soccer coach for the rest of my life. And went into education, decided that wasn't the route for me. And then I had the ingenious idea to go into real estate. Got my license about 2007, and we all know what happened around the 07, 08.
A perfect time to join that business.
Yeah,
huh?
Everybody was making so much money, I thought, man, I'll join the party. And that didn't transpire, and I always wanted to get into some kind of media. I loved sports. I'd done some play-by-play. I'd done some PA work at high schools. And again, I'd played soccer. I was like, it's now or never. So I went to a little broadcast school in Charlotte. Not going to shamelessly plug it. And then just started doing this nomadic walk for about the last 8 years I've been on this journey. And it's been fantastic. It's been frustrating, but it's been something that has been incredible. And it's led me to a place that I've come to love and call home is Montana. It's my new home. I don't want to go back to southeastern North Carolina.
Right.
I'm liking where I am.
Yeah, you're a full-fledged convert now for Montana.
I am.
So tell us a little bit, what's something about North Carolina that we just don't know? What's that one thing? There's got to be that one thing.
Well, first in hogs and last in education. No, that was the old moniker back when I was growing up. No, North Carolina's a great state. It's part of the South, but it's that modernization of the South. It used to be an industry of textile and tobacco and hog farms, and the hog farms are still there because barbecue is still a big part of the religion of North Carolina. But it's modernized with banking and tech. It's got every type of geography you could want, from the mountains in Asheville to the coast of Wilmington and the Outer Banks, and some of the best golfing in the country. But of course, I'm a diehard Duke Blue Devil fan. So
yeah, you know, it was a mark against you through the interview process. You know, that was on that negative when we made that pros and cons list. But I'm an accepting guy. We're working through that.
Yeah, a lot of people when they hear the North Carolina, they think Tar Heels. But I am in the minority. I am a part of the Duke Nation. Yes, and I have made the trek to Cameron and jumped around with the crazies at the Mecca. So no, it's a fantastic state for sports, but basketball is religion there, and it's one of those things that, you know, just helped grow my love of sports and wanted to be involved with it. And again, last night, like I said, I was on the road doing Capitol and Hellgate, and had a blast doing that.
Yeah, well, and so you wind up in Havre from North Carolina, a little bit of a culture shock, I expect. I mean, what's life in Havre like? Because you're in Montana, but you're on the High Line too, which is sort of its own little world.
Almost like Canada.
You're in Southern Canada.
Well, I was going to say, I grew up in a little town called Hamlet, North Carolina. And Hamlet, as you know, means small village, so I didn't think it'd get much smaller. And so I went to a town where there was a four-way intersection, and there's no stoplights or stop signs. So it's almost kind of like, hey, okay, buddy, you get out of the window and you go. Yeah. So, you know, Havre is a definitely change of pace, especially going from Charlotte, where there's a million people in the city, to, you know, about 7,800, 10,000 in Havre. So it was definitely a change of pace. But I like the small town life. The one thing I said to the owner of the station before I moved up, I said, you know, I'm worried about the winters. I don't know if I can handle the cold, because I remember I got up there and I was on the air one of the first times in the winters, and I said, it's going to be a cold one today. Low's going to be about 45. And they got me off air. They're like, Stu, that's not cold.
And that's
here.
Not cold.
That's not cold here. So
that's
you need
shorts
to,
weather.
But I have reacclimated what is cold after spending last winter on the High Line, in which the Weather Channel dictated Havre, a badge of honor, worst winter in America.
Yeah, well, and so much snow. You couldn't get out of houses. I mean, reservations were shut down. I mean, it was brutal. And now you come down here, and we're still waiting for winter. It's
I'm not minding this at all, especially learning the new lay of the land, getting to these locations to cover basketball. I don't mind that the roads are in pristine condition. I do hate it for the ski slopes and all the snowmobilers and skiers. But for me right now, selfishly, I'm happy with the way the winter's working out.
So we're talking this morning with Stuart Davis. We're sort of talking with ourselves this morning, which is a change for us here on Coffee Break. But I wanted to introduce you to Stuart. He's the newest member of our team here at KCAP. He's also doing some sports work for us. He's going to be the new voice for the Capital Bruins, and he's done that a couple times already. Stuart, as we said, you're a Montana convert now. What is it about Montana? I mean, what is it that, because you've told me this is where I want to be. I love it here. Why? I mean, why Montana?
For numerous reasons. Obviously, the first is just you look around, and it's just so, the aesthetic of the geography is just so awe-inspiring. You don't see this back east. You know, again, you get to the Smoky Mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, and Asheville has a kind of Missoula feel to it when you go out west, but it's just so, so big. You don't realize how big the country is until you get out here. And I like that it's not just overcrowded. It's kind of like our little secret. People know about it, but they still aren't coming in. I heard something where Montana actually had, was losing population this year, and that almost made me jump for joy.
Yeah, we brought you in, and we kicked two people out. That's what happened.
You know, people are very guarded about it, and I guess it's just kind of a throwback in time, if you will. I mean, it's still modern America, but it's still got some sensibility to it that maybe is lost in a lot of parts of the country, but it's just a fantastic place. The people are wonderful, and again, I feel really, really at home, and hopefully spend many, many, many more years.
Yeah, well, and we talked about sports. You told me one time about your first game, your first basketball game as a play-by-play guy. Play-by-play is tough. I've done it a few times. Usually I'm the color guy. I can be the color guy for football, and it works real well. I've done play-by-play a couple times, and it's tough. But you had a play-by-play experience that is probably among the more difficult that I've ever heard about.
Anytime you start a new job, you really want to impress your new coworkers, your bosses, and you want to really put on a good front. So I had the awesome responsibility of heading down US 2 East from Havre to Chinook, Montana, to cover the majestic Chinook Sugar Beaters and Big Sandy Lady
Best
Pioneers.
Mascot in the state. I'm just going to interject.
I send beater gear back home all the time, and they can't get enough of it. They do love their Sugar Beater gear. But I go down to Floyd Bowen Gymnasium. I'm in a suit. I'm wearing a suit to this game. I mean, this is big time. It's Final Four, has nothing on me. And going in there and start to call the game, and I'm in the flow and not noticing. And before long, I realize that Big Sandy hasn't scored a point in its halftime, and said, okay, because you usually about every 90 seconds give the score, and my sports director something's like, ease up on giving the score on the air. And so by the end of the game, it went that way where Big Sandy never scored a point. So my first game on air, a game I called on the radio, was a Chinook win, 57-0.
That's just rough, man.
Nothing.
That's rough all the way around. They definitely you wound up in the deep end without your floaties on that one.
Well, yeah, and I was surprised. I really thought you know, that the girls would be a little more upset about it. They were taking it in stride. It really wasn't one of those things where, you know, you hear on the television where some school is run up.
How dare they?
Big Sandy seemed to be you know, okay with the way things went. Chinook really did not try to beat them, put the goose egg. It's not that they were pressing the whole time. It's just the basketball gods wouldn't allow those free throws to fall or that bunny layup to drop in. And so, yeah, there was a zero on one of the team's scoring columns.
That's tough, man. Yeah. So what have you learned since that game? What have you learned? Because that was, as we said, that first play-by-play experience for you. Now you've had a few years. You've done Blue Pony Sports for a long time now, and now converting over to Capital Bruin Sports. So what have you learned, and what's the Stuart Davis style? What are people going to hear on KCAP, on our sister station, on 94.9, when you call these games?
Well, definitely the game, what is actually going on the floor, is the most important thing. And I try to give a accurate relay of the up-and-down action. But at the same time, I like to fit in a narrative, storylines about personalities on the floor, what's been going on throughout the season, and kind of weave a story. So it's not just about, you know, number 23, pull-up jumper from the left elbow, good. You'll get those things. But also, I want you to get a little relatability, because that's what I always found fascinating with sports is the personalities and the stories behind who is making these up. We've got some great kids here in the capital city, whether it's at Capital or Helena High. In fact, all of the Treasure State. So it's just fun to get to know these kids, get to know these coaches that work so hard, and then bring it to you where you can kind of feel like you're part of the journey as well.
When we talk new side a little bit, because we've got about 3 minutes left this morning, a little bit, you did some of that in Havre, a little bit different the way we're trying to set it up here. We're still building up our news wing here at KCAP, started that about a year ago, but it sounds like you're kind of excited about help building that as well.
Oh, so excited. I've got a degree in political science, and I was like, well, what am I ever going to do?
What am I going to do with that?
What am I going to do?
Let's go into radio.
Let's go into
radio. What the heck, yeah.
And so finally, thanks to Kurt and Troy, I can now kind of put a little bit of that critical analysis, analytical thinking to use. And, it excites me. As I've gotten older, I find myself, instead of turning on the television or the radio straight to ESPN, maybe I'll go by one of the new, I'm not going to plug any of the news channels except KCAP. I'll turn on KCAP to see what's going on there. But no, I'm fascinated. And we're in a time when it's never been more important to do what we do well and relate the stories of the day to the public at large. And so it's really an honor and a privilege to be able to go, whether it's to the Capitol or to City Hall or to the school board meeting and get the information, the public's news.
Well, and we've been wanting to sort of expand our storytelling here as well in the future. We've been telling a lot of the what's. We're hoping to expand that, change that a little bit time to time, and tell folks a little bit more about the whys. You know, let them know how any one particular story impacts their daily lives. So that's something I think is going to be exciting, something that hopefully you'll start hearing here on KCAP. What's the biggest win for you in terms of, how do you define success in the news gathering, news telling process?
I think it's just going out there and not necessarily holding people accountable that are in positions of power, but going out there and making sure there's transparency in what's going on, whether it's in our political scene or in our social scene, and just making it available to the public. You know, it's kind of when sunshine's not shining on things, things can go by the wayside. I don't mean to be so cryptic, but it's about going out there and finding stories that can help people or that can benefit people. And that makes me happy when, you know, you can go and present that and somebody goes, hey, that's something I didn't know. I appreciate that. Or, you know, you help somebody out with just something, you know, that you might think is mundane and it actually is it impacts somebody in a significant way.
All right, man. That was a good job. You earned your cup. You earned that mug.
Thanks.
But no coffee in it.
No coffee.
I need some
just
coffee.
The mug.
You just got the mug so far. You work on putting some news stories together this afternoon. And
we might give you a cup
we'll
of coffee.
We'll get you a cup of coffee. Thank you. Stuart Davis, the newest member of our KCAP team and also our sports team. He's the voice of the Capital Bruins. We're excited to have him here. And if you know about a story, be it news, be it sports, get a hold of him. Get a hold of me. You can shoot me an email is the easiest thing. Troy@MontanaRadio.com. He's Stuart@MontanaRadio.com. Stuart with an E. He's an EW guy.
Not like the mouse.
Not a UA guy.
Not the Stuart Little.
Right. Stuart. So Stuart with an E. Same goes for Coffee Break. You got an idea about somebody that would be a great guest here? Let me know because we don't know what we don't know. And if there's somebody doing good things out there, I want to help them do more good things. I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP and sponsored by Kelly DeWolf, your reverse mortgage funding specialist at 1422 Cedar Street, Helena. Kelly DeWolf, reverse mortgage funding specialist. Kelly DeWolf at reversefunding.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.